When Cain was confronted with the emotion of jealousy, God told him, "You must master it." But rather than doing that, as God told him, Cain killed his brother Abel. This is found in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and Brother David Johnson will use "You Must Master It" as his topic on this Words of Life program. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to know Jesus.
Nobody knows.
Righteous Father in heaven, your name is holy. We thank you for your holiness and the forgiveness that is found only through the saving blood of Jesus. Please help this broadcast to share the good news about Jesus so that the way of salvation can be clearly shown. We also ask that it will be with each one who is living for you in following your word. Give effectiveness in their teaching and strengthen their faith and give them your protection. Please bless all of our listeners with the healing, peace, and convictions that are needed. And when Jesus comes, help us to be ready to meet him. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present You Must Master It.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life broadcasts as we share the Word of God. The title for the lesson is You Must Master It. And our text is Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, which will come out in the lesson. After sin entered the world, as revealed in Genesis chapter 3, the main subject of Genesis chapter 4 is the spread of sin advancing into primarily a godless society. Most consider Eve's and Adam's sin as minor. However, God knew it to be major because from the first sin, sinfulness began to accumulate exponentially. In the account of Cain and Abel, the seed of woman figuratively met the seed of the serpent. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. This was exactly as God revealed. A commentator writes, quote, Cain fell to the prey of the crouching evil and eventually went out to form a godless society, rejecting God's way. The way of Cain, Jude verse 11, then is a lack of faith which shows itself in envy of God's dealings with the righteous, in murderous acts, in denial of responsibility, and in the refusal to accept God's punishment. End of quote. In Genesis chapter 4, we have life revealed outside of the paradise garden, east of Eden. The curse God imposed on his creation from man to the ground from which he was made begins to play itself out. In childbirth, Eve experiences for the first time the hard effects of the fall. The spotlight in our passage, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, is on Cain, the human to be born first. Cain's name appears 13 times, and 7 times Abel is identified as his, Cain's brother, in Genesis chapter 4. Warren Wiersbe, a fine commentator of Scripture, writes, quote, God commanded our first parents to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. And they obeyed this mandate, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4. While it's true that the building of a family isn't the only purpose for marriage, and not every marriage is blessed with children, it is also true that children are a precious gift from God, Genesis chapter 33 and verse 5, and also Genesis chapter 48 and verse 9, and Psalm 127 and verse 3, and therefore should be welcomed with joy. The Jewish people in the Old Testament and the Christians in the first century church would be appalled at today's abortion statistics and the philosophies of the people who produce them, end of quote. Let's look closer at our text, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. Adam lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. The given name Cain sounds like the Hebrew for brought forth or acquired. Notice Eve's godly attitude. With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Eve was not bitter due to her curse, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing, but instead she felt blessed to be able to birth a male child. Shortly thereafter, Eve gave birth to her firstborn's brother. Some think they were twins, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2. She later gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. The name Abel, it is believed, means breath or temporary. This name may have been given as an indication of the temporary nature of life then to be on the earth. Yet Abel's name came to have meaning in the abrupt cutting short of his physical life. Consider the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verses 50 through 51. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Notice Jesus acknowledges this early Genesis account, including the name Abel. As the brothers grew up, they engaged in different vocations. Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. It's interesting here that the younger brother is named first. In Scripture, there is more emphasis usually on the firstborn son. Both occupations were respectable and needful. Most early humans would have subsisted through a combination of both. We should remember that evidently meat eating did not come until after the flood, yet disobedience did reign, as we know from Genesis chapter 9, verses 2 through 3. However, flocks were kept for sacrificial offerings to the Lord. On special occasions, perhaps they ate the meat afterwards, and for clothing and shelter, for their skins, hides, and fleece, etc. Yet another commentator writes, quote, "The nature of rebellious man unfolds in the person of Cain, who had an auspicious beginning as a child of hope, but the narrative lines him up with the curse. He worked the soil. Abel, however, seems to be lined up with man's original purpose to have dominion over life. He kept flocks," end of quote. Regardless, no longer was everything provided for Adam and Eve as it was in the Garden of Eden, where their daily work was refreshing and delightful. Now they all had to toil, sweat, and struggle to provide themselves with food, clothing, and shelter. So Cain became a farmer while Abel became a shepherd. In parts of the Middle East today, these original occupations are still practiced even much in the same primitive ways as Cain and Abel. Regarding respectable work, Warren Wiersbe writes, quote, "As Christians, we don't work simply to pay our bills and provide for our needs. We work because it is God's ordained way for us to serve Him and others, and thereby glorify God in our lives." Consider 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. We don't work just to make a living. We work to make a life, to develop our God-given abilities, and to seek to increase the quality and quantity of our labor. Martin Luther told the dairy maids that they could milk cows to the glory of God, and Theodore Roosevelt said that the best prize that life offers is the chance to work hard at work worth doing. Perhaps the boys asked their father why their work was so difficult. Adam had to explain that God had cursed the ground because of his own disobedience. But this question also gave Adam the opportunity to remind his sons of God's promise of a Redeemer and a day when creation would be set free from the bondage of sin, end of quote. And this can be easily seen in the New Testament in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. This hope we should also have. May we never forget, even in our darkest times. So next comes the brothers' offerings of worship and thanksgiving to the Lord, surely taught them by Adam. Each brought the product of his vocation. Adam's family must have received God's revelation about the necessity of offerings to create and maintain fellowship with God since they had become sinners. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. The focus here is not the brothers' vocations, as we shall see, but on the nature of their respective offerings to God. Notice carefully Cain's offering as simply some of the fruits of the soil. That is, nothing special or superior, just produce in general. God knows our hearts, our intent, and attitude in all that we do. When we give something to God as our offerings, it should not be about how much we are giving up, for all things are God's to start with. Workers need to be true worshipers also, or they may become idolaters, focusing on the gifts rather than on the giver. In Cain's case, he did not endeavor to bring his first and best, only some. Note the difference in the offering of Abel in its expanded description, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offerings. Fat portions from some of the firstborn does indicate Abel's offering of his best and first animals. The focus is not on produce versus animal offerings, but the best and first. That this was more pleasing to the Lord, both in Abel's attitude and action, is verified in this verse. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. In contrast to Cain, Abel went out of his way to please God, whereas Cain was simply discharging a duty. Today, in worship, there are those that just go through the motions as rote duty versus those who go out of their way to please God, worshiping in spirit and in truth. New Testament scripture affirms why God was pleased with Abel. Consider Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. Both brothers would have known what God required, yet only Abel obeyed by faith toward God's mandate. Cain evidently disobeyed and therefore was faithless in his offering. Abel, as one of the heroes of the faith, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, is illustrative to all succeeding generations that a person comes to God through faith in him to receive righteousness. This righteousness was credited to him because of his faith, evidenced in obedience to God. This is how it still works today for those who are declared righteous in Christ Jesus. Cain was not only faithless and careless with his offering to God, he was also correspondingly wrong in his attitude. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5. But on Cain and on his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Cain, instead of being humbly repentant, was arrogantly angry. Angry at Abel, and presumably angry with God. And not just angry, but very angry. Since Cain could not take out his wrath on God, he did so on Abel. Anger and vengeful jealousy must be conquered, otherwise terrible sin festers and grows. And we can see this from 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. There is another interpretation that has much merit as to why God did not look upon Cain's offering with favor, and why Cain was so very angry. A commentator writes, quote, "But if the Lord had given prior revelation about sacrifice, it is likely that he would have included some specifics about the nature of the sacrifice or offering as well. Although later sacrifices could include grain, that is, bloodless, this was usually given in conjunction with another sacrifice. The book of Hebrews speaks of the better sacrifice of Abel, Hebrews 11, 4a, and that God spoke well of his offering, Hebrews chapter 11, 4b. But also later, the author of Hebrews wrote of, quote, Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. The contrast here is not between the death of Abel and the blood Cain spilled. This blood did not create fellowship, but the acceptable blood sacrifice of Abel and the better sacrifice of Jesus. The contrast then is not primarily about faith, although faith is absolutely required, but between offering what the Lord had declared was acceptable and what Cain decided was admissible. Like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the Word of God must be accepted as precise and authoritative. If the Lord declared that Cain's sacrifice was unacceptable, then this was true. What was now required of Cain was to offer what was acceptable to God. End quote. Warren Wiersbe, however, challenges this interpretation with merit also. Quote, in later years, the law of Moses prescribed offerings of grain and fruit, Leviticus chapter 2. So we have reason to believe that such sacrifices were acceptable from the beginning. But even had Cain brought animal sacrifices, despite being a worker of the soil, and shed their blood, they wouldn't have been accepted by God because of the state of Cain's heart. Abel brought the best that he had and truly sought to please God, but Cain didn't have the attitude of faith. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22b, end of quote. All of this is true, and Scripture must be accepted. Here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. Possibly had Cain obeyed God in the proper offering made, then his heart correspondingly would have been right. Thereby he could have sacrificed in faith. Nevertheless, It need not have been either or, but Cain erred in attitude and action. Whatever God's emphasis for his rejection of Cain's offering, notice the thrust of our passage is not God's immediate rejection of him, but his seeking Cain to repent and remedy his attitude and actions in order to be accepted. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" God questioned Cain with rhetorical questions, not because God didn't know the answers, but because God desired Cain to examine himself honestly. Here is much application for us today. When someone asks why we have done something wrong, how do we react? In a repentant way or angrily? Do we seek to correct ourselves or continue to rebel? God gave Cain time and opportunity to right his wrong. God reached out to Cain, but he only resisted. God forbid that when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, that we would resist him. Defensive anger and bitterness are never God's way. God's favor is always achievable while we are alive and accept him in repentant faith and obedience. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. With a repentant attitude of faith, we can master sin crouching to enter us. John MacArthur, another fine commentator of Scripture, writes, quote, "God reminded Cain that if he had obeyed God and offered the animal sacrifices God had required, his sacrifices would have been acceptable. It wasn't personal preference on God's part or disdain for Cain's vocation or the quality of his produce that caused God to reject his sacrifice. God told Cain that if he chose not to obey his commands, ever-present sin crouched and waiting to pounce like a lion would fulfill its desire to overpower him." End quote. These are truths that still apply to all sinners today. We also must master those sin tendencies that constantly crouch at our hearts and minds. We should know that by ourselves we cannot master sin just in our own strength. We will fail miserably. Today, as born-again Christians, we have a tremendous helper with the indwelling Holy Spirit to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Sadly, in Cain's case, according to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, he already, quote, "belonged to the evil one," end of quote. And so he thought and acted as his master directed. Not even God himself could turn Cain around. This speaks volumes of God, even in his sovereignty, voluntarily giving mankind free choice to receive or reject him. Grudges can kill the soul. What we should embrace is grace as God's gift to eternal life with him through obedient faith. Whatever our moral weaknesses, we should always beware of what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Do not give the devil a foothold. And heed what Peter wrote and apply in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Verse 9a, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Let's not be like Cain. With God's help, we can master any sin.
Yeah.
The guilt of sin results in condemnation, but the salvation from sinful guilt is found only in Jesus the Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? The book of Acts shows us that believers repented of their sins, confessed Jesus as Savior, and then were baptized by immersion in water. We encourage you to become a Christian. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this and last week's program, please contact us. Ask for CD number 2120. That's 2120. Please write to us today. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing.